Reading from the Epistle, 2 Thessalonians. As to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, we beg you, brothers and sisters, not to be quickly shaken in mind or alarmed, either by spirit or by word or letter, as though from us, to the effect that the day the Lord is already here. Let no one deceive you in any way, for that day will not come unless the rebellion comes and the lawless one is revealed, the one destined for destruction. He will oppose and exalt himself above every so-called God and object of worship, so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, declaring himself to be God. Do you remember that I told you these things when I was still there? But we must always give thanks to God, to you, brothers and sisters, beloved by the Lord, because God chose you the first fruits for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and through the beliefs in the truth. For this purpose, he called you through our gospel, so that you may obtain the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. So then, brothers and sisters, stand firm and hold fast to the traditions that are taught to you by us, either by word of mouth or by our letter. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself, and God of our Father, who loved us through grace, give us eternal comfort, hope, and good hope. Comfort our hearts, strengthen them in every good work and word. This is the word of the Lord.
In my first year here as pastor, Broadway dedicated the final portion of our Sacred Spaces campaign, taking an old, worn-out building and renovating it into our still new and very beautiful children's wing building. On the day of dedication, Maddie Compton's mother, May Cora Peterson, then 101 years of age, made a point to come up to me and speak. Been here, will be here. When come here's done, come and gone, she said. That was her old Southern-inspired way of saying that Broadway has been on this block a long time and will be on this block a long time more. Broadway Baptist Church in Fort Worth, Texas is now in its 143rd year. Since our founding in the South Side in 1882, Broadway Baptist, formerly called South Side Baptist, has seen all kinds of come-heres, come and go. But been here, has been here, through and outlasted them all. The church has endured two world wars and two pandemics, a great fire, a great depression, and who knows how many recessions. The rise and fall and rebirth of our near South Side neighborhood, a painful separation with our denomination, and the still ongoing refinement of the vision and mission of our congregation. We are working for a church and world where all are welcome and belong in the beloved community of God. We say, we are working. And been here, will still be here working when come here with all of its other visions for the church and the world has done come and gone. It's Pledge Sunday here at Broadway. And this is the time Broadway members and friends are asked to make our commitments to this congregation. Believe it or not, we will soon be into our 2026-2027 budget cycle. That means some of y'all are getting old. Maybe I am too. Dr. Kiker, it's your turn to speak later. Next year, I'll be 50. And I'll be beginning my 10th year as senior pastor here, Lord and you willing. And Broadway will be even closer to its 100th and 150th anniversary. The Committee on Committees will have to form yet another committee. Broadway will be here, Lord willing. And our leadership is asking us this morning to make our commitments to being here with it. We are being asked to make our pledges, to pause and think about the mission and meaning of this church, and to consider what a faithful commitment of our time, our talent, and our treasure would look like for each and every one of us. We are being asked to pray for, attend, and give towards the mission and to help strengthen the institution, even while so many of our other institutions in this country are under attack. These are difficult days, and we are being asked to help the church weather the storm and bear witness in the tumult. This year's stewardship campaign theme is Stand Firm, Hold Fast. It's taken from today's epistle from Paul to the church at Thessalonica, which Paul tells to stand firm and hold fast to the traditions they have been taught in times past. Those were difficult days too. In our reading, Paul writes to the Thessalonians about someone whom he calls the lawless one. Someone who so elevates himself to such an exalted seat of privilege and power that he even presumes to call himself God and demand others do the same. Paul tells the church that they are to resist such idolatry and stand firm and hold fast in their faith in the one true God of their Lord, Jesus Christ. We are being called to stand firm and hold fast in our own age as well. We are called to profess our faith and to stand firm and hold fast in Christ and in the things of Christ, the basic teachings and traditions of Christ. So many of the basic beliefs and core convictions of our church are under attack right now. Empathy is said to be a sin. The poor are being cursed. Truth-telling about science and history and human sexuality and gender and the future of this planet is all being silenced in the public square and even outlawed in the public schools. The stranger is being criminalized, the transgender demonized, the hungry just this very week victimized. Gay marriage is once more under assault. Authoritarianism is on the rise. Democracy is on the ropes. And racism, sexism, anti-Semitism, Islamophobia, and xenophobia have all been given free range. There is an idolatry that has set itself up over this land. It glories in its shame, and it gloats in its shadows. And in such a time as this, well, beloved, we are called to stand firm in our faith and hold fast to our convictions. For the church may well, for some time, be the last free place in an increasingly unfree society. We are being asked this morning to help the church stand firm, hold fast, and hold out. One of these days, a long time from now, we're all going to look back on this time. Our children and our children's children will look back and they're going to see that there was a church that stood up for right, even amidst a rising tide of wrong. And we need that church. We need that church to be strong. And we need to support that church with our prayer and with our presence and, yes, with our financial contributions. We are being asked to pledge to give generously and significantly and even for some of us sacrificially, that the substance of our commitments rises to the courage of our church's convictions. These are difficult days, but the spire of this church has a prominent place in this city and in this nation. And it frankly, well, bears its witness. And we are being asked this morning to strengthen and embolden its light so that it will shine brightly, especially in these darkest of nights. This is the heritage of this church's long-lived mission and vision. And we are being called this morning in our own time to rise to the occasion. Earlier this fall, Pastor Fran and I buried a man named Jim Collier, a beloved son of this church and great-grandson of the longest-serving pastor in the history of our congregation, the Reverend Forrest Smith, who was shepherd here from 1915 until his death in 1931. By the way, be assured I'm conscious of that as I'm nearing the beginning of my 10th year. Been here, will be here, but stayed here, died in office. Jim is buried in the family plot in the Greenwood Cemetery beside Reverend Smith, whose headstone reads, "He served his own generation." And he did. 100 years ago, he fought the very same forces of fundamentalism and anti-intellectualism and authoritarianism we are still fighting the good fight against today. He held fast to freedom of inquiry in the academy as a trustee at Baylor University. He stood for democratic rule within the congregation and the convention, and he fought the forces of religious enmity and racial and ethnic hostility within the city and the state and the nation. And in a letter he wrote to the Baptist General Convention of Texas in 1928, Reverend Smith revealed his understanding of the times in which he was living in the 1920s, an understanding not far from my own understanding of the times we are living in here in the 2020s. He wrote this: "We have had the world's worst war in a flood tide of evil that came as a result. We have had the rise and fall of the Ku Klux Klan with all the bitterness and hatred that would naturally come out of any movement of this kind. We have had some political convictions in Texas during these 10 years that have tried the souls of good men. During this period, we have had more religious agitation and more religious agitators than this state or any other state ever faced." That was written almost 100 years ago. And with the exception of the World War, you otherwise might think that we had a time machine. For the more things change, the more they remain the same. Our state is still leading the charge. The religious agitation is still extant. The sons of the Ku Klux Klan are still at it. And all of the bitterness and hatred is still present. And there is still talk of war. And there are still these now the times that try our souls. Reverend Forrest Smith's had his soul tried in the fiery furnace of his times, and he was found true. Indeed, he served his generation faithfully, and we are called to faithfully serve our own. Stand firm. Hold fast, stay committed, stay convicted. The church that was strong must stay strong. And the Broadway that has been here must be here for just such a time as this. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, mother of us all, and together all of God's people say, amen.